Hello, and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program. I want to thank you for joining me on this program where we each week take a look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are in the portion of our study that we are referring to as the year of development. And today we are going to be in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, as we consider Jesus' promise of the Spirit. Let's go right to our text. I'll pick up in John chapter 7 and verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, during the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a daily ceremony involving water. And each day, the priest and the people would joyfully make their way to the pool of Siloam. And there, using a golden pitcher, water would be drawn and taken back to the temple and poured on the altar of burnt offering. The words that we find in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 would be sung. It said, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." On such an occasion as this, Jesus used the opportunity to extend to man a wonderful promise. He invited those who thirst to come and drink. Verse 37 in our text, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." The Scripture tells us that those who believe in him will have rivers of living water flowing from their hearts. Notice verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The Apostle John explains to us that this promise concerns the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Those who believed would receive. The Spirit had not yet been given, we're told, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But what can we learn from these verses in our text today? Let's notice first the nature of this promise. Now, in our text, a promise was foretold here by Jesus in the Scripture. Notice verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We note back in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, where it says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Also, in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. It is a promise that makes one a blessing to others, according to verse 38. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. A Christian will be a blessing to greater mankind. And Jesus offered then a promise to believers in verse 39. Now this promise concerning the Spirit was not made to those who have yet to believe. The promise extended in verse 39 is to all believers. It is not just to select disciples with special tasks, such as the apostles and prophets, but it was a promise given to be fulfilled after Jesus was glorified, according to verse 39. After his resurrection and his ascension to the Father. J.W. McGarvey wrote, "The first and second chapters of the book of Acts is the best comment upon this passage. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and was glorified, he sent forth the Spirit upon his apostles on the day of Pentecost, and the angels in turn promised the gift of the Spirit, and the apostles in turn promised the gift of the Spirit to all who would believe, repent, and be baptized." Now we can conclude that the reference is to the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was promised to all who repent and are baptized. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" The Holy Spirit was given to all who obey. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, "And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey." The Holy Spirit is sent to us because we are God's children. He has been sent to our hearts, Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" We read Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Indeed, the Christian's body is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That this promise refers to the gift of the Holy Spirit becomes clearer as we consider the blessings of this promise of the Spirit. And of course, that begins with the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said in our text, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The Christian will become a blessing to others that they encounter, and most especially when they bear the fruits of the Spirit. When they are filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. When Christians bear the fruit of the Spirit, they bless others. And so, this promise has the fruit of the Spirit, but also the aid of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit becomes possible with the aid of the Spirit, who helps us to put to death the deeds of the body. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Spirit is God's agent to strengthen the Christian. The Spirit enables us to be filled with joy and peace and to be abounding in hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Strengthening with might through the Spirit in the inner man. Notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Jesus, therefore, offers us the opportunity to be blessed by the Spirit's indwelling, so we can be useful in blessing the lives of those around us. But to ensure that we are recipients of this blessing of the Spirit, we need to be in careful consideration of some things. One is, who can be the one to receive this promise? It's given to those who obey. By believing in Jesus Christ, the need to believe is certainly emphasized. Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. for the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Faith is certainly necessary to receive life in His name. John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. It's given to those who repent of sin. The gift of the Spirit is promised only to those who repent. Again, we recall Acts chapter 2 when Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It is given to those who are baptized for the remission of sin. Again, as we just pointed out in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, that this is a condition for receiving the promise of this gift. The baptized believers are made to drink into one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And this promise is also only experienced by those who grow. By singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are to be filled with the Spirit, which we can do by singing. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We experience this by studying the Word, for He is the sword of the Spirit, the Word. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the means by which the Spirit teaches and instructs the Christian. For the Word contains the revelation of God given by the Holy Spirit to inspired men who wrote it for our benefit. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We also need to note Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel of which I became a minister. Also, it's experienced by prayer and making request regarding the Spirit, that God would fill one with all joy and peace in believing, abounding in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We also experience this promise by turning away from sin. Because if we fail to, we grieve the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so, we must not grieve the Spirit, and we must not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, do not quench the Spirit. And so, in summation, what a wonderful promise Jesus has offered in our text today. The Holy Spirit to those who believe in Him. Those who believe in Him will be filled with rivers of living water. How sad it would be if you quench the Spirit by failing to grow and failing to obey the Lord. Finally, notice John chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. What a beautiful promise. Are you, one, looking forward to those rivers of everlasting water? Well, thank you for joining me today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. I certainly have. And look forward to being with you again next week, if the Lord wills, for another edition of Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember, this program will be replayed at 11 p.m. this evening and also posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope that you have a wonderful day.